appreciate that it's more fun. It's more fun if we work together. We can actually move faster. We can go deeper. We can have a bigger impact. And business is supposed to be fun. How many hours do we spend working? So many. I mean, it should be fun. And we find our tribe with other small business owners that are like us. So I would want to say we are stronger together, and go and find a friend and start working with them.
Welcome to the Inspire to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. I have with me today an amazing, wonderful guest, an author, a speaker, and a lovely lady by the name of Therese, who has a magic touch when it comes to speaking the language of brands and securing collaborations, partnerships, and sponsors that grow businesses. Therese is the best-selling author of SWAP, Marketing Without Money, where she reveals her insider strategies and trailblazing track record that speaks volumes. Not only has she secured major partnerships with brands such as Jeep, Sesame Street, and Benetton to create a $10 million business, but she's a seasoned TV strategist and has been on a judge on Channel 10's By Design and weaved brands seamlessly into shows like The Block, Selling Houses Australia, and The Living Room, and has become a sought-after expert for securing sponsorships that deliver a three-way win. Hello, beautiful woman. How are you today?
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here with you, Phoebe. Thank you so much for having me with you today.
Therese, I'm so honored that you have joined me on the show on your big milestone. Today is not only a day where we celebrate, you know, all things in business in general, and, you know, it's a day to be happy and thriving, but it's your 50th birthday, if I'm allowed to share. And what an amazing, like, you do not look a single day over 40. So
you're very kind. Very kind. But I'm calling it this is my now five. I'm just calling it a five-star birthday. This is my five-star
birthday. I love it.
Birthday, and I feel like this is my second act. I feel like this is my opportunity where, you know, like when you go to the theater and you come back in and I can be a whole new vibrancy. I can really embrace it. I can go bold. And the beauty of being 50 is that I have adult children. I have a whole new life ahead of me that I get to choose how it plays out. So this is a really, really exciting time for me. So I can't wait.
That is so awesome. I'm so excited for your second act, because wow, your first act is so far just so incredibly impressive. And you shared the stage at Intrigue Sydney at the Marketing Summit this year, you know, about a month ago. And you are such an amazing, not only an amazing speaker and an amazing marketer. And we're going to talk about, you know, how you've been able to secure such massive collaborations and partnerships, but you're also an MC, and you have this ability to bring to life the room and just, you know, make everyone smile. So I'd love to find out, Therese, like, first of all, what inspires you to be who you are today and to be doing what you do today?
I love small business owners. I love them. They are nimble and fast and agile and brave. And I get so much energy out of meeting other people who have decided on their passion and their purpose and are really living it. And so those are my people. And with this, I get to work with amazing businesses who are really growing and thriving. And sometimes I get to matchmake them into some other very large businesses. So for me, I guess I'm on a mission to see more brands working together, because I think that we're stronger together. I also think that we have all got, you know, our speed bumps. I'm calling them speed bumps, right? They're all the hiccups that you land along the way. And somebody else has already been there before you. Somebody else has already navigated that speed bump. And all of these companies, we have all these great things that we can do. And sometimes we just can't see it. Mm. So I'm always saying, you're like, Phoebe, your greatest strength, the thing that you find so easy to do, is someone else's greatest need. They find that so difficult. That's the thing that they really need. So when you can actually have these beautiful collaborations where brands come together and everyone uses their strengths and they form this beautiful partnership where they can create a customer experience that is irresistible, that's what I want to be a part of.
I love that. I love your passion. And I'm very similar to you, very passionate about SMEs and helping a lot of the clients that I love working with at early stage and, you know, diving into what you are all about, which is, you know, swapping massive marketing budgets for strategies that help businesses to thrive. I'm very big on that because I think we don't necessarily have to jump on Facebook or Instagram ads and be spending hundreds of thousands a month even. There are so many different unique approaches to speak the language of brands and to connect with other businesses. So I'd love to know, what is a key strategy from your book that has been particularly successful that's helped you secure brand partnerships or helped some of your readers or your clients?
Some of my favorites are the really simple ones. So it could be a friend of mine has a furniture brand and she has great relationships with interior designers all over the country. And she was launching a new product range. So her brand is called TH Brown, and it's a beautiful range of bespoke furniture. And she was telling me how she wanted to go to Brisbane and actually launch her new range and show interior designers and was just going to get a hotel room, you know, and show the product. And then I also have another client that I was working with who was actually on the block, and he was an artist. And so with that, he was looking for an opportunity to talk to more interior designers about his art. And so I talked to both of them and I was like, I think there's an opportunity. You know what? Like, Tony, you have a beautiful product and have great relations with interior designers. And Chris, you have a beautiful gallery in Brisbane that is the perfect setting for your furniture, and you can have an opportunity to bring all the interior designers into the space. You can both showcase your product. And what's it going to cost you? Basically, a cheese board and a couple of bottles of wine. So I love finding where there's a really great opportunity to be better than what you are singularly. So Tony exhibiting her product in a hotel room, good. Paintings, good. Paintings and beautiful furniture together in an environment that is cohesive and works and elevates both products, better, just better. So I'm always looking for, what do you need and who's got it?
I love that. I think that is so resourceful. You talk about partnerships a lot in that book. And I think collaborations is key for businesses to thrive because there are so many people that look at other businesses and they consider them as competitors, or there isn't that abundance mindset. Whereas when you're talking about partnerships and collaborations, it's really about giving, but also it's a win-win. And it helps you to not only align with more businesses, but it helps you to scale a lot faster, I think.
Absolutely. Someone, and as you touched on the word competitors, and I truly believe that there's not that many people that are direct competitors. Like, even if we look at like marketing as a discipline, well, my gosh, like you've got marketing in terms of all the different efficiencies like SEO versus digital versus AI. And then you've got all the different industries that people touch on and their specialties, whether they're FMCG or whether they're manufacturing. So I don't actually believe really in competitors. I think that we've all got a job to do. And even there are people who speak about partnerships, I'm advocating for them because I believe the more people that are speaking about businesses doing partnerships, the more mainstream it will become. So I think that with the book, yes, it's absolutely all about Like, who's got what you need? Who's done what you want to do? Who can actually navigate a path for you? The fear that I think most people have is either one, they don't think they've got anything to offer. That's what a lot of small businesses say to me. They go, oh, I'm just small. I've got nothing to offer, which could not be further from the truth. And I decided to give myself a challenge one night with a glass of wine, and I wrote a list of 103 assets that you probably have in your business that you may have forgotten about or you may not have even considered that you could use to leverage and do a partnership with another brand. And that's a small business. That's a small yoga practice or a small pizza shop. That these are not, you know, the big banks or the, you know, the big telcos. These are very small businesses. So I do believe that we've all got something to offer and it's of value to another business. But I think the spirit of collaboration is really absolutely about putting the customer at the center of your decision making. So if you go into a partnership and you're very like, I'll give you one Instagram post and you give me, you know, one blog mention, then it's very transactional. When you come together and say, hey, Phoebe, I've got a great idea. You know what? We've got the same customer. And I think if we came together, we could create something even better. So how about we put all our tools together? So you've got a social following. I've got a social following. I'm on stage. I do this. You do that. Okay, let's put it all together. Let's use every tool in our toolkit and create something so amazing that customers can't help but be attracted to that energy, that enthusiasm, and that output.
I love that so much. And I'm a big believer in collaborating, especially when it comes to your community. I feel like one of the best assets for a business where they don't necessarily have a brick and mortar. So it's not like, you know, we have an event space where someone can come in and rent out, you know, our studio or something. I'm a big believer in co-creating events. And I recently met this woman who is actually someone that has been on my podcast too. And she owns a tattoo studio. And when I first connected with her on Instagram, I actually accidentally connected with her thinking she was somebody else because the name was very similar. And it just naturally happened very seamlessly. Our conversation just really flowed and we became good friends. And now we are, you know, we're going to start co-running events and bringing women together from our community together. But we said to each other recently, we were like, how funny, like who would have thought that a woman owning a tattoo studio would connect with someone that doesn't have tattoos that, you know, is in marketing. But it just happens. And I think you're spot on when you talk about the fact that we all have resources that we can share. And I really love that.
I was just going to say, I think that where the magic happens is being really true to what you're great at and what you own. So, you know, one party might have a huge kind of social following, but the other party might have an amazingly huge database.
Yeah.
And so it's not being transactional, it's being purposeful. So you're like, I appreciate that I've only got 100 followers, but I've got 5,000 interior designers on a database that I could contact. And you've got this massive following, but maybe you actually need a little bit of credibility, or you're entering a new market or a new geographical area, or you're trying to sell an event. And so it's very much this reciprocal mindset of coming together and going, you know what? I respect what you've got and I respect what I've got. So let's put it together and make it even better. And that when you come together with that mindset, so it's about the customer and it's about the bigger picture, then it gets rid of, well, how many have you got? And you give me one and I'll give you two. And it gets rid of that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that mindset. What would you use like as a metric to measure the success of a partnership? How much time do you give before you start to evaluate, is this the right partnership for me, for example?
Great question. Great question. And probably the one that everybody asks, because they don't, They don't know how to measure it to see whether it's a success. So I guess before you even get into the partnership, it is about identifying what the objective is. And so, as I said before, for you, the objective might be that you want to sell tickets to an event, but the other party's objective might be that they want to increase their social following, or they might want to get 100 names on a database, or they might actually want 50 product demos of their new software. So it's really important when you have that first conversation, which I call a curious conversation, is to actually approach it in a way that's actually saying, what are you trying to get out of it? And so when you're aware of that, you're like, okay, so if you're trying to sell tickets to an event or get a database or get an increase your social following, then I'm going to do everything I can to help you do that. And then I know your objective. So I'm going to make sure that, you know, that both sides are actually delivering on that. And so I'll call it the weight of each, because the other hang up that people do is sometimes they go, well, I feel like I'm giving everything and they're giving nothing. And so that's really about, okay, but what is the customer getting? Like, is the customer getting a better experience? But to go back to your question around metrics, firstly, it's about the objective, and it doesn't have to be a legal contract. It could be a Word document where you're both actually agreeing in principle to do certain things. The reason most partnerships go wrong is that it's not written down and there's assumed things like, oh, I thought that you do this. I thought that you do something else. No, there's no thoughts, right? Like let's put things down on a piece of paper and say, I'm going to do this on this day. You're going to do this on that day. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the link. We're going to measure the clicks. We're going to look at the advertising. We're going to pivot on week three if we're not getting what we want. We're going to do all these things. So when you actually have your Word document and you say, this is what I'm after, and say, what would be a measure of success for how you're after, what you're after? So that might be 1,000 names on a lead magnet, or it might be 100 tickets or 50 demos. So when you have that on your Word document, it's really clear, right, to work out that if you are meeting that metric. There's also the bigger flow-on effect of those things. So you might say, I want to increase my names in my database, but then you actually get immense credibility. You've actually got a whole new group of people that you're tapping into. You're ranking for a whole new keyword. So there's so many additional benefits. But to get true to what the value of a partnership is about the objective and setting out what you want to achieve. So both parties are really clear on what they need to do.
I love that. I think the Word document, you know, sharing roles and what you're going to contribute is fantastic. And it definitely removes the assumption part and the difficult conversations later on, especially when one party might feel like they're putting in a bit more than the other, or that they're just, you know, there isn't that balance in the roles. So I think that's great. And any collaboration should involve that, not just partnerships, but even if it's, for example, co-running an event or co-organizing an event or being a speaker at an event where you're assisting the organizer to promote it. I think there's so many ways where we can collaborate but simplify the process and still significantly grow and everyone gets to win and everyone benefits.
Absolutely. It's just being really clear. And I think my theory or my practice on this is I believe in over-delivering. And the reason I believe that is I'll tell you just a tiny quick story. So I did a beautiful partnership and we had an agreed. So I'm going to give you some products. You're going to deliver me 8 photos. You're going to integrate it into a blog and you're going to do 3 social media posts. Beautiful, right? So we are very clear on what she was going to achieve. She gave me more than what I asked for. And so what did I do? I shared more. So she gave me an extra photo. So I made sure that I put that on my social and I shared it out and I tagged her. She actually said, oh, those products that you gave me, I'm going to run a competition. I'm actually going to give that away. Would that be okay? I said, fantastic. And so I promoted that competition. So when you go in with a spirit of generosity and actually kind of saying, do you know what, I'm happy to do one more thing for you, then the other party just feels like they've got such a big gain from it. And the whole thing is actually it's magnifying your brand. So I believe, you know, in my book, I talk about like, you know, over deliver, do the deal and over deliver, because people will remember a generous spirit. And then at the end of the promotion, when you do your big wrap up report, which is something I feel really strongly about as well, then you can show these are the things that we did and these are the results that it got. And that wrap up report is then the way that you get your next partnership. Because that partnership that you've just done and over-delivered on their expectations, they will not stop talking about you.
I love that so much. I'm keen to hear more about these wrap-up reports. If you have any resources around that, I'm sure the listeners would love to see that as well. Now, I'm fast-forwarding to, I guess, communicating, like especially when you're communicating the value of a collaboration to a potential partner and you're reaching out maybe on social media or maybe after meeting someone in person or networking. Can you please share with us what are some tips that you have for effectively communicating the value of a potential partnership?
Great question. So I think, again, it comes down to what are you trying to achieve and then how do you get that first date. So when people reach out and they're basically proposing marriage in like a DM, their first DM ever, bad sign, right? Like what do? We run for the hills.
Yeah.
So when you're just doing that first reach out, it's just to get a conversation. And then that first conversation, I almost say like try to, you know, have a few seeds in your mind about what would be a great outcome, but listen. Listen, ask them questions, listen to say, hey, I saw that you did this campaign a few months ago. Like, what was the greatest thing about that campaign? What didn't happen that you would have loved to have seen? What's your KPI at the moment? Like, are you actually trying to enter a new market? Are you trying to increase your cart size? Are you trying, like, just asking questions and they will tell you the answers. And then it's about pretty much they tell you what they're after. So where, you know, our KPI at the moment is to, you know, get more emails or to actually have more demos or things like that. And then, so basically you just immediately say, well, I've got an idea of how we could actually do that together. Would you like to have another conversation and scope that out? And so what you're framing is I've listened, I've heard, and I'm going to respond, but I'm not responding immediately. I'm going to say, I've got an idea of how we could make that happen. And then I leave the meeting and flesh it out and make sure that I've got all the parameters and then go back to them.
Amazing. So what advice would you give to new businesses that, you know, maybe even a new business owner that's seeking to look out for their first joint venture or a partnership? It's obviously all very new for them. And as you said before, a lot of SMEs especially might think they have no value to give. What's like an exercise that they could do to help them brainstorm ways to really have a positive first conversation with a potential JV partner or just a, you know, a sponsor, for example?
Yeah, great. The easiest way to look at this is who comes before you and who comes after you. That is the easiest first way to actually talk about partnerships. And who are you already referring? And who is already referring you? So as small business owners, we're very, very good at helping our customers. So when our customers approach us and they say, hey, Phoebe, do you know someone who could, you know, build me a website? Or do you know somebody who could actually put together a really impressive PowerPoint pack for me or pitch pack or whatever? Then you will say, actually, I do know someone. The person's name is X. Referral marketing is brilliant, but it relies on you actually saying the name and the person then and there in that one instance. What if you could actually look at referral partners as always on? So what could you create for the referral partner and yourself so that even before a customer asks a question, they were being prompted and provided with the other company. So, for example, do you have a blog? Do you have an article on your blog that talks about, once you come and see me, then you might need this next step? This next step might be, so say you were doing a huge partnership with a huge bank or something, maybe, or a co-branded product. You might want to get a product engineer involved, or you might want a lawyer involved. So I would say, if that's the case, here's five things that you need to know about creating a legal contract when you're co-branding a product. And actually, here's some quotes from Jane, and Jane's going to talk about the five things you need on this contract. If you need help, Jane is the best person for you to speak to about getting this contract done. She knows exactly how I work. Here we go. So we could have that on a blog. We could have that on socials. We could actually have that as a link on my website. So it doesn't rely on me having to say Jane's name. It's always on. And the same for Jane's website. She can be like, are you interested in partnerships? Then the easiest, best way for you to do this is to actually, for you to read Teresa's book. Here's a link for you to download the first chapter. So we've both got sets, I'll call them, on each other's real estate, which refers each other automatically. So when you are starting out and you're thinking about your value, your value is also your history. So if you've worked for a massive company, or you've written something, or you, then that is an asset that you're bringing with you into your business. The big companies need small brands. They need them because big companies are, they're really big. And so it's hard and bureaucratic to actually get through all the things they need to do quickly. So big brands are always looking for small brands to collaborate with, because small brands are nimble, agile, fast, brave. They have a face. They have a community. They're really connected, engaged. And so that's how big businesses leverage small businesses. And then we as small businesses, absolutely, of course we leverage big businesses all the time, because then you could be the photographer that this bank use, or this conference use, or what have you. So you exchange all the time, but the value might be different. So you might have the value of a big brand, and the big brand is getting the value of you being really engage with a smaller community, but is highly, highly effective for them. So just to wrap that up really quickly. So look at who comes before you and who comes after you in your customer journey. They are beautiful partners who you should be dealing with. And then look at almost like, what have you got to offer from an IP point of view? When I talk about partnerships, there's three different types of partnerships that you can do, very, very simply. So the first is when you co-brand something. So whether your product or your service, and you co-brand, you create something. The second is when you use your knowledge or your IP, and you might create a digital collaboration. So that could be anything from a podcast like this to a blog, to an article, to an installment. And then the third is when you create an in-person experience. So that could be an event. It could be a pop-up in your store. It could be something where I get to experience you in real life. So when you're thinking about those things, it's almost like, what do I want? I'm just starting out. I'm a small business owner. I don't have a huge marketing budget. Who's got my customers already? The answer is the person before you and the person after you. What have I got to offer? So could I offer like 10 tips on the interior design trends that are occurring for 2024 and offer it to a furniture company? And what could you create an in-person environment? So if you had a restaurant, what are the partners or the people that could actually draw people into your restaurant? So a great collab that one of my clients did was, she is an artist and she did a partnership with an Italian restaurant. And so what came out of that was that she shared that she was having an exhibition for one night only in a restaurant. She pushed that out to all of her community. Her community then came to try that restaurant. The chef was so inspired by the artwork that he created a dish you could only get on that one night. So then All of her audience got to try delicious food, meet the chef, have this a great experience. And all of their audience, the restaurant's customers, got to have an experience where for one night only, it was completely different. They got to meet the artist, hear about the artwork, you know, really have a different experience. So, and what did that cost them? Nothing, you know. So this is where, what have you got? Who's got what you need? What could you leverage? Who comes before and after you?
That is such good advice. Thank you so much, Therese. I love that. Definitely looking at the customer journey is a really good way of brainstorming potential partnerships. And yeah, I mean, I personally have experienced the success of working with other, for example, well, you know, I run a digital marketing agency. So my JVs are usually people that also provide a marketing type service, whether it is SEO or whether it is web development, you know, or some kind of consulting. And I always think that that's a great way to handle a win-win outcome for everybody, especially the client, because the goal is we want to make sure that our customers come back and they get a really good experience. And rather than having multiple different services that we try and tackle and expanding the services, we get to niche in something that we're really fantastic at and collaborate and use other people that are really good or talented in their individual niche.
Absolutely. And this is about the spirit of collaboration. The book is called Marketing Without Money. And so it is about what have you got to leverage and what could you use? But it is also about, this is not free, right? It has an amazing, huge value. And so you need to go into that with the respect that the other company deserves. So being really clear about this is not free. I need to contribute. My contribution is going to be in time or assets or other things that I can contribute. The other brand is also going to contribute something, but the overall effect is going to be a better outcome for the customer. And so then you've actually got the customer advocating both of you, and it creates a better experience.
Yeah, I love that. Would you say that small businesses, like you mentioned earlier about how small businesses can collaborate and it's actually a very good collaboration with larger companies, would you say that large companies can also collaborate well with other large companies? Is that a bit more challenging to form, or is it still quite simple or still quite similar in terms of the way they go about it?
So big brands collaborate all the time. That's where we see, you know, Nike and Tiffany get together. We see Adidas and Gucci. We see the Barbie movie did like 100 different collaborations for their movie launch. Big brands do this really, really well. And they do that because we as consumers were told Inside Retailer magazine that, you know, 71% of us love when big brands come together and create something chat-worthy, shareable, interesting, brag value, limited edition, something that's really enticing. And they do that as something that they switch on and switch off. So they will do a capsule collection or they will do a limited edition, and that will drive a behavior. Now, big companies do it incredibly well because it might be around a new product launch. It might be around a new location. It could be a new segment of the market. And so they will strategically work out who are the brands that they need to work with. So when I work with big brands, it's a little bit different in terms of it's more about who's got the tools, the tech, or the team that you need to grow. So that is about, and in America, they absolutely call it like a JV, like a joint venture. And so software companies are, you know, they do this every day of the week. So they're always looking for who's got my customer, how can I leverage? I don't necessarily want to build the tech because I'm really good at something else. So who's got the tech? So how could I combine with a tech company and we can deliver a better outcome for the customer? Or who's got the team of people? And when I say people, it could be a leadership figure. It could be a whole team of people. It could be that you need a certain, like a profession. Like you might need an interior designer or a website designer or a different type of designer. So it's like, who's got the skill set that I lack that I could tap into and we could create something together. So whether you're a big company or a small company, it's still about the customer, but then looking at what is the value that I can offer and what can I ask.
Wow, there is so much there that you've given us that, you know, I think in partnerships alone, there's an unlimited sea of opportunity. And I just want to thank you so much for all the wisdom, all the knowledge and all the experience that you have to share. I mean, I feel like we could talk all day about this. It's very, very exciting. And for anyone that hasn't bought the book, SWOT is an amazing book. It's so easy to read. And there's so many nuggets of wisdom and so many, you know, takeaways that we can get from it. But before we wrap this up, Therese, I would like to ask you 5 rapid fire questions that gives the listener a little bit of an insight into a bit more about you, especially on this milestone today. And if it's okay, how it works is you just share with us the first answer that comes to the top of your head.
Great. Love it. Hit me.
Okay. All right. Rapid fire question number 1. If there was one thing you cannot live a single day without, whether it's a physical item or something non-physical, what would it be?
Oh, green smoothie. I start every day with a green smoothie and it makes me feel perfect.
Wow, that is so healthy. I love it. What do you put in your green smoothies, by the way?
Spinach, apple, cucumber, chia seeds, hemp seed oil, and a stack of ginger that would like kill a horse.
Yum. Oh my gosh. Have an amazing immune system.
I hope so.
In the winter. Okay. So question number 2, what or who inspired you to do what you do today?
I love people like Naomi Simpson. I love watching powerful, strong women forge ahead and actually take a whole village of other people with them. So I feel like the women, mostly the women who inspire me are, I mean, some of them are like my friends. I just find them truly unbelievable. The Janine Ellis's, you know, even Christina Carlson, which is Kiki K. I find these women fascinating because they broke things and they just keep on climbing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Christina Carlson is one of mine as well. I love that. Beautiful. Therese, where do you see yourself or your business in 5 years' time?
I'm hoping to see myself on a huge stage in Vegas in front of 10,000 people talking about the value of partnerships and how we should be working together more.
I love that. My gosh, that would be so fun. Can I please be there?
Totally. You can come with me. We'll have a good
time. I would love to see you on stage in Vegas. Therese, what is one big takeaway you've had recently that changed the way you either see the world or changed the way you view your business?
Oh, what a great question. I think I'm going to say a competitor, and the competitor was so generous and pretty much said, I know we talk about the same thing, but actually I deal with a totally different market segment. Whatever I can do to help you, just let me do it. Just say thank you and keep on moving. He was so generous, that it was disarming. And I think I came in to that meeting with the same spirit, but his was just unbridled support. So I feel now like I'm going to lean in even more to that and actually give generously, share widely, you know, just be the biggest person I can to make the most impact with others. So it's a ripple effect and they affect the next person.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. That's so beautiful. And last one would be, if you could leave the world with one message, what would that be?
We're stronger together. I think with my, you know, just my upbringing, my family, my business, you know, everything has been around the support and the encouragement of others. And so, and I believe that I love small business owners, and the best thing about us is we move fast and we break things and we do things on our own. And the worst thing about us is we do things on our own. Yeah. And so we need to appreciate that it's more fun. It's more fun if we work together. We can actually move faster. We can go deeper. We can have a bigger impact. And business is supposed to be fun. How many hours do we spend working? So many. I mean, it should be fun. And we find our tribe with other small business owners that are like us. So I would want to say we are stronger together, and go and find a friend and start working with them.
And have margaritas and prosciutto on pizza.
Absolutely. Or lychee martini. Yes.
That's right. Yes. Oh, Therese, it's been so fantastic having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for sharing your birthday with us. I'm so honored. And I cannot wait to have my personal collaboration with you and to release this episode to the world to share this with more SMEs. Lastly, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you'd like to share, any offers or landing pages or resources or where people can find you to connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, I'm very easy to find because I'm the only Therese Tarlington in the world. So you have no excuses. If you type my name into Google, there is like 18 pages of results. So you can find me pretty easily. But I guess I would love to say, you know, please, like the book is a recipe book. It actually takes you by the hand and steps you through how to do this. And my bigger purpose is around getting brands to work with each other. So I would love to offer anybody who's listening the audio book version of Swap Marketing Without Money. I'm sure Phoebe will put it in the notes for you. And so just please, please listen and then act. That would be the best gift you can give me, is to actually take this on board and go and have a curious conversation with another business owner tomorrow.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Therese. And thank you to all the listeners that have tuned in today. We can't wait to share more of these fantastic, juicy episodes with you guys. And once again, keep thriving and shining.